Hey, everybody. Welcome to Phantom Power Music Review. Greetings to all of my fellow musical nerds out there, my lovers of liner notes, those of you who dive into chord progressions and mic choices and debate which DAW is best. You are my tribe. I love you guys. But this show is also for just the average music lover, you know, the average listener who maybe wants to learn a little bit more about theory and composition and some of the studio tricks that people use. Hopefully, you guys will enjoy this show as much as us music propeller head geeks do. Hopefully, you guys will, at the end of the show, learn something from it. I really appreciate all of the nice comments that I've been getting from fellow musicians in the emails and in the chat rooms about this show. That means a lot. I have a lot of respect for you guys. So for you guys to be digging it, that means I'm doing the right thing here. This is, of course, a value for value music cast, value cast, podcast. What is value for value? Come on, folks, say it with me. That is where you, the listener, can send little tiny bits of Bitcoin directly to the show host or the musical artists that you are going to hear in today's show. That's what value for value is all about. And you are listening on a modern podcasting app like CurioCaster, Podcast Guru, Podverse, True Fans, Fountain, etc. All that fun stuff. So we're going to break down three songs. And then at the end of the show, the final chapter, I'm going to go over the wonderful boosts and zaps that have come my way and say thank you to all the folks over the past couple of weeks. So let's get into it, shall we? We are going to listen to a beautiful piano player and composer down in South Florida, a gentleman by the name of Alan C. Paul. I've had his music on the Phantom Power Music Hour before. But we're going to check out Sergio's Serenade, and then I'm going to break it down and give you my thoughts. Are you ready? Of course you are. Here we go. Thank you. So that is Alan C. Paul and his trio with a song called Sergio's Serenade. And let me just say before I start, if you like this, please share it. Share it with anybody and everybody. There's not enough of this type of music out there. It's absolutely brilliant. It's my favorite genre, but it deserves to be heard. It's absolutely stunning, this work. And just remember, kids, like, that's just three dudes, right? Like, that's just three guys, bass, drums, and piano. I'm going to reference Sheffield Lab a lot when I talk about this song. If you look up Sheffield Lab, Sheffield Lab.com, go to their catalog, read up on their history. An amazing bunch of artists, but more importantly, just amazing recordings. And that's the first thing that I thought about when I listened to this track from Alan. Let's start with the drums. Like, I hope that you, when you listen, you can tell where all of the drums are falling in the mix. The mix is just stunning. If you listen to another great drummer like John Bonham or another great drummer like Stuart Copeland, their pocket is immaculate. Where they sit in the beat is immaculate. If you listen to James Brown, drummer, immaculate, sitting in the pocket. But the thing about Zeppelin and the thing about the Police, and in many respects, the thing about James Brown records, is the recording. If you're listening to something like When the Levee Breaks by Zeppelin, you hear a lot of compression and delay on it. You even hear delay on Walking on the Moon or what's that other great song by the Police? Message in a Bottle. You hear a little bit of delay on the drums. I bring that up here because this drum mix is so pristine and just so absurdly good. It reminds me of Sheffield Labs. And if you listen to Pat Coyle's record from Sheffield Labs, you'll know exactly what I mean. Pay attention to where those drums are sitting in the mix, how they move around your ears from left to right, how the cymbals move, how the toms move. Not only is this drummer's pocket so brilliant, and the drums, I believe, was Jason Kent, but the mix is exceptional as well. When I'm talking about pocket specifically, where his snare accents are fitting on this track. You could very easily go and just play everything like a boring 2-4, right? But go back and listen to where he's dropping those snare hits, and it's just stunning. Now let me talk about the bass, who I believe was Gerard Cabreau. Two things come to mind, three things. One, again, the tone, because it's so clean, the lack of compression, the true natural tone on it is incredible. His note choice is stunning. And of course, note choice is made easier by the left hand of Alan C. Paul, and I'll get into that in just a second. But his pocket, where he fits with the kick and the ghost notes that he throws in and the passing tones, are absolutely stunning. You don't hear this type of playing in pop. You might hear it from like Ariana Grande's band when they're playing live, like when they get like a 10-minute feature, right? Because those dudes are all jazzers, right? But you don't hear this type of stuff in regular music, in mainstream music. So that's why it's so refreshing to hear it. Note choice, passing tones are absolutely stunning. I also love the solo that he pulls off and his full use of the neck. He, and then Alan does a brilliant job, and we'll get to Alan's playing here in a second, but Alan does a brilliant job of giving him the room to move in that solo. Alan's just laying down some drums. He's like just doing a whole lot of nothing. He stays out of the way. He's kind of floating in the background. But the bass playing in conjunction with the drums are setting up Alan to just absolutely kill you with his hands. And he does a brilliant job. Now let me talk about the piano playing. You can tell Alan studied classical a lot. Not because I read that off of his website. He has a Amazing bio, by the way. But Alan's playing here reminds me of Nina Simone. And if you listen to Nina Simone, she is going to remind you of Bach. If you love this type of music, I would really encourage you to go back and listen to Nina Simone, My Baby Don't Care For Me. Because there's a lot of parallels in Nina's playing and in classical music there with what Alan is doing in here. And let me just summarize really quickly. Nina grew up playing classical. She then played for years on the Eastern Seaboard in the clubs, playing 3, 4, 5 hours a night. And her improvisation is stunning. And she would pull a lot from Bach, a lot of two-hand in tandem playing, counter movement as well. And you hear that in Alan's riffs here. You can tell in his soloing and in the head riff with the little trill that he pulls off, and we're in A minor, and that's, you know, and those half tones that he's pulling off, well, your fingers are going to fall off if you don't know how to do it right. The half tones that he's pulling off and the trills that he's pulling off, you can tell he's a student of classical, and it's just brilliant playing. He's referencing Nina Simone, who was referencing Bach. That's the way I take it. You can tell Alan studied Bach too. Now, here's two other things that you might have picked up on. This song is primarily in A minor, right? But on the turn, as the song comes out of the B section, let me ask you, did anybody else hear My Favorite Things? Did anybody else hear that song from Sound of Music? I did. And my ears just went off. And that's one of the beautiful things about music theory and diving into these songs, is because I'm not saying that he stole that from Sound of Music. All of these progressions, we all use the same progressions. We find new ways to interpret them. But when you hear My Favorite Things in this song, it's the same reason why you might be listening, literally, you might be listening to Black Sabbath and be like, damn, isn't that the same thing that like the Bee Gees did? Yeah. You know, because if you have a really strong progression, it really works. So here is that progression that I'm talking about coming out of the bridge. Right? Now here's where I hear My Favorite Things. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. I can't be the only one who hears that. Now, Alan does a great job of changing it. Does this diminished flat 5, 2, and then major 5, and then back to the 1. But that is what's fun about this, is when you hear those little tricks and you can go like, oh, I know what that is. I know what that progression is. That's part of the fun. Now, who else heard a little bit of Alicia Keys in here? I could have sworn I heard a little bit of the same chord progression from, I think, New York. But more importantly, like overall, when I listen to Alan's playing, and this is going to sound really weird, but I've made this joke a couple of times to guys who grew up in the gospel setting, is every time I hear a piano player like Alan, I really wish that I had grown up in the Southern Gospel Church. I really wish that I did not grow up playing piano in a Catholic church with a rock band whose charts were like Nashville, because my left hand just can't do what Alan's doing. And you got to know that in addition to studying classical and in addition to studying jazz, a lot of, and I could be wrong, but here's my feeling, and Alan will probably shoot me a note and tell me, nah, I didn't do that. But I have a feeling the bulk of his playing is based in gospel and blues, and a lot of that comes from the church. And you don't get that in the Catholic church. You get that in a really good gospel church. You get that in a really good Baptist church, right? Like the bands that you see and the music that you hear in that setting in the church are totally different than the church bands that I grew up playing in. Now, and I have been critical of playing in church bands, because in many respects, it kills all of your dynamics. I've said that many times in other podcasts. But there is always an exception to the rule. And that exception to the rule, quite frankly, is the gospel bands that come out of the Baptist churches. And that might be a little bit of an overstatement, and I'm not, but please don't misunderstand anything and don't take anything the wrong way with respect to races or religions or things like that. I have this conversation with fellow musicians who grew up in the same setting. I'm like, man, dude, I wish I had your left hand. And they're like, dude, I got it in church. And I'm like, I totally get it. So here specifically is what I'm talking about. Like, his chord choice, the notes that he picks with his left hand give the bass player all the room that he needs. When I was in music school, as in jazz piano classes, they will teach you, do not play the first note and the fifth note in your left hand. Play the third, the seventh, and an extension. Alan's playing does that perfectly here. Perfectly. Because that's the bass player's job, to, you know, to pull you around on the one and the five and then give him the ghost notes to make it sexy. The type of left-hand playing that Alan displays in this takes eons to practice and eons to master. And it's absolutely brilliant. Point blank, man, I'm jealous. I wish I had his left hand. I wish I had grown up in that type of musical setting and not the boring, mundane setting that I grew up in, where I wasn't exposed to that type of music and that type of playing until I was in my 20s. And then by then, it's like, man, you got to unlearn a lot of habits, right? So I'm just blown away by this. I hope you guys love it too. I try to keep it high level. I don't want to go too deep because I don't want to turn off people who are not musicians. But that's my take on Alan C. Paul and Sergio's Serenade. And I hope you guys love the song as much as I do. Cool? All right, let's move on. Let's talk about a newcomer to the group. Timothy James, TJ Wong. We're going to listen to a song called Kingdom Come, and then we're going to break it down.
Brothers and sisters, Mrs. and Mr. Don't you know I'm a fool for you? Heart is true. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you've been. Welcome to the kingdom come. This is where your life begins. People from all places, doesn't matter what your race is. Don't you know they'll love you so? I'll do my best not to let you go. Doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you've been. Welcome to the kingdom come. This is where your life begins. Yeah.
nasty little groove that one is, huh? That's TJ Wong. He's new to the value verse, and that song is called Kingdom Come. All right, let's talk about the spaces that he creates, first of all. You know, remember we were talking about Alan C. Paul and the ghost notes of the bass player and the pocket for the drums. Like, the more people that you add into a band, the harder it is. Like, everybody's got to play less, that type of thing, right? And in reality, you know, you got piano, bass, drums, guitar in this, and everybody does a hell of a great job of staying away, and that's from each other. And that's so hard to do when, you know, when you're jamming around... like on the head, on the or you want to call it the verse on this, you know, when they're just banging around through those three chords, C, E flat, and F, man, you better know how to stay in your lane and not step on anybody else's toes. Find the right amount of notes, give everybody else their space in the octaves, give the drummer some room, and everybody does it perfectly on this. I just adore how they tackle those parts in the song, the verse and the chorus, and like verses singing on the C, and if you want to call the chorus the E flat and the F, that's fine. Dirty New Orleans funk groove, kind of like a Dr. John thing, right? And I love Timothy's playing, TJ's playing. I've heard some of his more poppy stuff over on acoustic and some of his other projects over the years. I've known him now for a couple of years. I'm thrilled that he's in the Value Verse. And it's so cool to hear him do so well in this genre. But the thing that stuck out to me the most on this track is how he handled the solo section, right? Because let's be honest, the song is three chords, right? Like, he's singing the verses on a C, and then he'll jump to the E flat, and then the F, welcome to the kingdom come, right? And then they just bounce around on the C, on the tonic. And it's fun to do that. Fun. Love that. But I love how they take you on a 16-bar journey when the guitar solo comes around. You know, scroll back about halfway through that song and they start on the E, they funk it up on the E for four bars for a solo, and then they take you down a full step to the D, and then they'll go to the G, right? And then pull you into the C and go for another four bars there. Like, that type of thinking when it comes to arrangements is so smart. You can run out of ideas quickly if all you're doing is soloing over those three chords that the verse and the chorus are built off of. But when you're able to take the listener on a journey and open up different scales and different tones and different frequencies associated with these three different keys that they hit before coming back to the C, just shows another level of thinking that you don't always see. And it's refreshing to hear that. Now, with respect to his playing, he knows what the hell to do when he's singing. When he's singing, he knows that the vocals are the most important part, right? And the storytelling is the most important part. And he doesn't try to brag with his playing when he's singing. He lets his voice do the work, and his voice is great. And I love the message, the lyrical message of the song as well. I think we can all agree that he's probably singing from the position of being a higher power and, you know, Kingdom Come being what it is. But then break down his solo playing and the different styles that he hits. And again, if you listen to his solos and the room that he gives himself, you can see that he's not bragging. Because you could very easily just sit there and shred for 16 bars, go through all the keys and show off and, hey, everybody, look at me. I know all my Locrian scales, whatever. He gives himself some room. He focuses on space. He knows where he's going to go, and he uses the right notes to pull us into the next chord change. He's a young guy. He's in his early 20s. Dude plays like he's been playing for 20 years. Just stunning stuff. I really love this track. I love New Orleans swamp funk. That's kind of like what I get from this. A bit of New Orleans, a bit of Memphis. But the musical journey that he takes you on, those 16 bars when they go E to D to G to C, the solo section, that's what kills me on this. And TJ's the complete package, man, in terms of playing and vocals. I absolutely love it. You know what would be a lot of fun is get Alan C. Paul to sit in TJ's band for a night. Those two would tear it up. Tear it up. Tear it up. All right, let's keep going. Welcome to the Valueverse, TJ. Timothy James, as it were. So thrilled that you're here. All right, we're gonna check out a song from the Dorfels. We're gonna get a little bluegrassy on this next track. Let's check it out. I got to tell you, I am so thankful that the Dorfels are in the Valueverse and that they have uploaded so much music. I don't think you can really appreciate just how talented this family is just by hearing that song. And that's, if you listen to all of the stuff that they do, all the pop stuff, all the rock stuff, all the different genre stuff, it's really stunning how talented this whole family is and how much they have contributed to the Valueverse. This song is, it reminds me of the best of Americana bluegrass out there today. It reminds me of Nickel Creek. It reminds me of Bella Fleck. When I was reviewing Alan C. Paul, I told you guys about Sheffield Labs. And if you dig this music, I would encourage you to go back to Sheffield Labs website and look up a great band called Freeway Phil Harmonic. That's right in line with what they put up here. And the fact that they got Nate Grower in on this track, and Nate is one of the best fiddle players in the country, is just absolutely stunning. I don't think you can, you realize just how talented this family is to pull off a track like that. It is so far and away above what most bluegrass is. It is so far and away above what a lot of the music out of Appalachia is. They're bending time signatures in here. Like, they've got me stumped, man. I would, if you guys have a chart, Dorfels, somebody send me a chart on this, because I would love to know what the hell you guys did. I think it was written by Edward, along with Nate, who they brought in for this track. You got a head section, you climb up to the B section, you do a Mando solo for 8 bars. You got another tasty B section where you can kind of hear that Nickel Creek acoustic in the background. Banjo takes over for a little bit, then you have the hits, then you have a head, and then you go back to the B section again for coming out. There are times when, like, when I wanted to count those transitions in 5, and I could have sworn one time I needed to count it in 6. So that's why I want to see a chart on this. But these guys are so stinkingly talented. I'm so thrilled they're here. So I would encourage you guys, if you like this stuff, let me give you some other bands to check out. Of course, check out Nickel Creek. Check out Freeway Philharmonic. Check out Bella Fleck. And listen to how they make all of these parts work together. You know, the idea behind so much bluegrass and so much of the music out of Appalachia was that every instrument has its own octave, right? Now here, you're kind of sharing octaves between the mandolin and the violin, and if you don't know what to listen to and how to listen to it, you might get a little tripped up on it, but do your best to listen to the song and just focus on the acoustic, or just focus on the banjo, or just focus on the mandolin. And if you can practice that, it helps you become a better listener, and it helps you become a better musician as well. But I can't say, you know, I can't break down this thing too much without saying wow about every eight bars, without loving every transition they do. You really want to dive into the chord progressions. All right, you're talking 1-2-4 a lot, but that doesn't carry a lot of weight when you're talking about how they move from section to section, how they implement those hits, and how they can make the whole thing turn on its head by doing one measure in an odd meter. So this is, you know, this is a little bit of a breakdown of the song, but more importantly, this is an homage to how talented this family is and how many different genres they pull off, and they pull off very, very well. So these guys are just absolute monster musicians, and I'm thrilled they're here in the Valueyverse leading the way for a lot of people, and I'm so glad we got quality music like this in the space. Hats off, guys. Like Fatty the Grasshopper, this track kicks ass, and it's going in regular rotation for me, so kudos. Brilliant, brilliant track. Brilliant track. Wish I could play mandolin like that. Man, I could barely find a G chord anymore. It's been, my mandolin's got so much dust on it. Not even funny. All right. Well, shall we read off some boosts and zaps?
Let's begin, shall we?
Well, thank you, PW. Let's do that. Lots of sats coming in over the last couple of weeks. Lots of streaming sats and some really nice boosts. iMappy, thank you so much for listening. I can see a lot from you. I can see a lot from Mr. Alan C. Paul, of course. Thank you, sir, for your support over the last couple of weeks and last couple of months. Also see a lot of sats coming in from Debased Ghost. Thank you very much. I haven't seen you in here before. Must be a new listener, and I'm thrilled to have you. Batvin 321 and John SBRT, thank you guys very much for listening and for your support and your sats coming in. Also coming in from Gene Bean, thank you, sir. Mr. Adam Curry, always appreciate you listening. Cody Christopher, Joe Martin, Chad F. Chad, thanks, man. I see you every week in there listening, and that's very kind of you. Nice sats from Herbivore Band as well. Love you guys. Hope all is well in Philly. Jesus, sorry. You guys have punched me in the face for saying that. You're from Pittsburgh. I know that. My bad. Sorry. Lots of people chiming in on my interview on Monday this past week with the guy from Indie Hub, with Zach. Glad you guys like that. Zach's a cool guy, man. He's going to do, for the indie film world, what's going on with music. So that's nice to see so many people chiming in and listening to that interview. I know Chad F. was listening to that, and I think Kyron was listening to it as well. So thank you, sir. Dovidas, appreciate you listening and chiming in, as always, with your sats. And, of course, your feedback offline is invaluable, sir, and I thank you for that. Colomona, Sir Libre, thanks, buddy. Lots of sats coming in from you. And if you guys like metal music, you got to check out Lightning Thrashes and Colomone's show. Salty Crayon, thank you, sir. Really appreciate your sats. Jose AMADORRC, thank you. Greatly appreciate it. Borson Galaber as well, I see you. And I think your real name is Tomas, if I'm not mistaken. I know we've seen you in here before. I appreciate your sats. Gosh, more from Alan C. Paul, more from Herbivore, more from Chad F. You guys are awesome. Thank you guys very much. Let's keep it rolling here. Just listening once again, kicking in the sats. Thanks so much, Sir Spencer, Eric PP, Sir Truck Driver, Just Listening, DeLorean. Thank you guys all. Thank you so much for these sats. It's very kind of you guys. Appreciate you guys listening. Mary Oscar, Dude with Ears. That's a good one, Dude with Ears. Andy Breakheart, nice bump from you. Abby Muir, who just got on a plane today to go to Tokyo to finish some projects. Can't wait to hear that new stuff. Thank you guys, Andy. Thank you, Abby. Thank you, QW, Quiet Warrior down there in Phoenix. Andy Breakheart, love your stuff, man. So thrilled that you're putting your tunes up here. You remind me of the Dead Milkmen, sir. And I love me some Dead Milkmen. Bitchin' Camaro and Punk Rock Girl. Great stuff. That's what your music reminds me of. More sats coming in from Chad F. and from Gene Bean and from Adam Curry. Somebody named Ainsley Costello. I have no idea who that is. But thank you for your sats, whoever you are. Nate Jonovan. Thanks, Nate. It was a pleasure having you on the Phantom Power Artist Hour last week. Mere Mortals, love you guys and really appreciate the nice comments that you made after that last Phantom Power Business Hour. Batvin321 chiming in again. Thank you so much for all that. Moving into, I'm trying to get through these as quick as we can. Like moving into March 7th, we're coming up on it. John SBRT, lots of sats coming in from you, sir. And I think the last person to thank would be Tone Wrecker. Thank you very much for your nice sats and boosts. I hope I got everybody. I know it's kind of hard to do it. It's not a perfect system to be able to track them all. And I know if I was running my own node, I'd be able to see it better. I'm not there yet. I'm still a rookie. I really appreciate you guys listening to the Phantom Power Music Review. And I hope you are enjoying our other shows as well. Very grateful for the people that I'm meeting and the direction that this is taking. I don't know where these podcasts are going to take me, but I'm certainly loving the experience of doing it for you guys. And if you like it, if you found value in it, please share it with somebody else. Would love to grow the audience for this. So that'll do it. My thanks to Alan C. Paul, the Dorfels, and the newcomer TJ Wong for their great music and for allowing me to pick it apart a little bit and talk about why I love it. And most importantly, thank you for listening. And that'll do it. We'll see you soon. And as I love to say, smile for the mugshot.